It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? So glad that you've joined us today. We're going to close out the 24th chapter of Matthew by reading just the verse 51, and then get right into chapter 25 today. So please that you would open your Bibles so you can follow along and study and enjoy the precious Word. And while you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you would like to write to us, our mailing address here is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you would like to call us here at the church, it's 217-847-2717. If you'd like to check out our website, we've got many studies there. I hope that you would. And please enjoy it. The plan of salvation, our constitution is there. And it's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. It's very simple, parkviewbiblechurch.org. I'd love for you to check it out. And if you would like to email us, it'd be parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would be just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Matthew chapter 24, verse 51, "And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps, went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. At midnight there was a cry made, 'Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose, trimmed their lamps. The foolish said unto the wise, 'Give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered and said, 'Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know not neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh.'" We'll begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can enjoy your precious word. I pray that you would and ask that you would guide and lead us through it. It's so important that we understand the meaning of this message here. So many, I'm afraid, have missed that part. And it means the difference of heaven or hell. And so please, Father, I don't desire that anyone would have to face the fires of hell. But when they face death, or when you come to get us, that we'll be ready. And so please, Father, guide and lead us through this study. Show us the way of salvation. Show us the way of service. And just direct our paths, please. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we read that last verse of chapter 24. So sad to think that there are going to be so many that are not ready. So many that have just been so busy with this life and this world that they have not prepared themselves to meet the very creator of the world, creator of man, and also their savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we finish this chapter out, we find that as we go into the tribulation period and even into the the end of the church age, the day of grace, that's the day we're in today. If you wonder, don't think for a second that we're in the tribulation, because we're not. Because as we've studied in back in Thessalonians, we know that the day that the tribulation begins is the day that the Antichrist will be exposed. He will show himself in power and in strength, and that has not happened yet. Many things will take place at that time. And we will read from 2 Thessalonians here, because it is a very interesting study, and it's one that we need to be very much aware of. So if we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, then we'll begin with the 7th verse. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. In other words, the presence of the devil and his ways. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall the wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. As we look at this time and we see what's going on here, we need to fully understand, as we started back up here with verse 7, that the mystery of iniquity doth already work, so it's present now. Only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Now, that is what's going to take place as the rapture of the church. We are going to enjoy the power and the presence of the Lord Jesus. It is a joy to know, back in verse 1 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." That is a call for the church. And so as we look at all this, and we find up in verse 3 of 2 Thessalonians 2, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come until there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things?" And then we start with verse 6. "And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in that time. For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked." And so what's going to take place here? The church will be raptured. And when the church is raptured, the church is taken out. Then all presence of God, right now, we think we live in a very wicked world, and we do. And it's because of the absence of God. It's the absence of believers. There are become fewer and fewer that are true believers. And that's what we're talking about here in Matthew chapter 25 today. And the fewer of that we have of believers that are serving God and are present in this world, the stronger the wickedness, the more it increases. And we see that. We see that. We need a revival. But there is no evidence in the Word of God that at the end times there'll be a revival. As in the time when Jesus came to earth, right before the birth of the church, the Jews, there were so few Jews that were true believers. They're just a remnant. And so God handed the power and handed the opportunity to bring people to the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell them about the Lord Jesus so that the Holy Spirit could work and convict their hearts and save them. We can't save anybody, but God can, and God will if you heed to His word and recognize that He's lost, recognize that He needs if you recognize that you're a sinner, you're a wicked sinner, and you need salvation, you need to be saved from your sin. Otherwise, you're going to wake up and find yourself, as it tells us here back in Matthew 24, appointed His portion with the hypocrites, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's one example that we have of the torment that's going to go on in the place of torment, awaiting hellfire for eternity for you, if you don't recognize the need of salvation. So please that you would come, and please that you would heed that you do not go into the tribulation period, because that's the next step. I believe there's just a remnant of believers left. And what's going to take place here is one of these days that trump's going to sound. And if you don't know Jesus, you won't hear it. But if you know Jesus, you're going to hear that trump. He's going to call you home. And then, once again, the absence. Think about that, all Christians, their influence will be gone from the earth. The Holy Spirit with His influence will be gone from the earth. And there will be nothing to hinder the Antichrist, the devil, and his workers and his ways. I can't imagine what that's going to be like here upon earth. And if He would come today, and you don't know the Lord Jesus, you'll be here. You'll face this time. I don't want you to. I want you to know the Lord Jesus. I want you to come by faith to Him, trust in Him. We find, now returning back to Matthew chapter 25, this wonderful story about the 10 virgins. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened to 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Jesus is seated here at Mount Olives with His disciples, teaching them, giving them some last-minute instruction. This is a continuation of Matthew chapter 24. Nothing has changed as far as the position and the teaching that's going on here. We have 10 virgins. We have they took their lamps and they went forth to meet the bridegroom. There's many things. The number 10 is an example of many things in the scripture. It's very important to the Jews. It was 10 men that formed the congregation in a synagogue, and we have 10 lamps in a marriage procession. Many things were noted with 10, and here we have 10 virgins. And visibly to look at them, we see no difference. All 10 were virgins. All 10 carried a lamp. All 10 went out to meet the bridegroom. And all 10 waited for the bridegroom. So we find with this example, there's very little difference. But the word tells us that 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. So there is a great difference between them. Physically, visibly, we find no difference. So what we're finding here is back to the same words and examples that we have spoken of earlier. We have the professors, those that profess, they talk about it, and those that actually possess Christ in their heart. There is the difference today. It is a great difference. It's the difference of life or death. And that's the reason that our Lord is giving us this example here. Like the 10 virgins, they were outwardly alike. It's often impossible for a person to detect the difference. There is many times that the person that is just a professor has not invited the Lord Jesus to come into his heart, that they are as active or more active than the possessor. And that's a sad statement, but that's true. And so we cannot tell, because you and I cannot look into the heart of an individual to see whether the Holy Spirit is there. We do have the ability, we're not to judge, but we do have the ability to be a fruit inspector. Because if the fruit is true and real, according to Matthew chapter 16, chapter 7, verse 16, it will tells us that we know them by their fruit. And so we can detect by their actions, by who they're around, by the jokes they tell, by the things they do. We can see the difference. Church has both. So here we have 5 virgins that are wise. They represent the true believers, those that have come by faith to the Lord Jesus, that truly believe the Lord Jesus Christ is their Savior. The Holy Spirit has come to live within their hearts. And then we have 5 foolish. These represent those that profess but do not possess the true Christianity. They do not possess the Holy Spirit in their heart. He has not come in to live because they have not recognized, maybe it's you, have not recognized that you're a sinner and you need salvation. You need to be saved. You need to be born again, and you need to come by faith to the Lord Jesus. He said, oh, I have called on the Lord Jesus. I've invited him into my heart. Now the question comes, did you just do that verbally? Or did you do that because the Holy Spirit convicted your heart? The Holy Spirit showed you that you're lost. You didn't just make a confession so that you can say, I go to heaven, to say that I have eternal life. But you have called upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you because you recognize that you're lost. You've got to be lost before you can be saved. So please recognize that. So that you are a possessor of the Holy Spirit and not just a professor of some words. Here we have an example that it's about half and half. We've had the same thing in the other chapter there. It says two women shall be grinding at the mill. One shall be taken, one shall be left. Two in the field, one shall be taken, one shall be left. There's many examples that it's about 50%. I'm sorry, I don't believe that. I don't think that this is teaching that it's 50%. It's just an example for us to have. Because we've got few today that are saved. I think the lost holds a lot higher percentage than the saved. Those that profess are a lot more than those that possess that precious Holy Spirit. Again, the judgment, you know, we're not to judge, but we can tell by their fruits, according to Matthew chapter 7, verse 16, as we said earlier. We have so very little fruit today. You know, when you have something special at the church, have, you know, Thanksgiving supper, Christmas dinner, you have activities like that. Here they come. Here they come. You know, we call it an opportunity to be a witness to them. But that's when they come. They don't come when you have a prayer meeting. They don't come when you have Bible study. Most of them don't come on a regular basis to church. Very few come to Sunday school, have no need for that. So many in the past, why, mother brings the children to Sunday school and then everybody comes to church. Because, you see, I don't need Sunday school. We don't need to be taught. And if that need is there, if that desire is not there to be in Sunday school, if that desire is there not to be at Bible study, to come to hear the Word of God, then there's a problem. There's a serious problem. And I'm afraid that's what we have today. We have very few that are caring for any kind of a spiritual burden of the church. You come, you do literally nothing in support of the church. Oh, you may give your offering, but what do you give? Are you truly tithing? Are you giving the tithe and an offering? What are you giving? That's the important question. And not only of your monies, but how about your time? There's much work that needs to be done. A lot of work around the church itself that needs to be done. Cleaning and mowing and just all kinds of things that need to be done. What are you doing? What are you doing? Are you just coming and sitting in that pew? Going to special activities, like suppers and things like that. But when it comes to the daily work, what do you do? What do you do? Do you witness? Do you ever share the precious word to anyone? What is the difference between the wise and the foolish? The five wise and the five foolish. It's a matter of being prepared. And being prepared means that you must face your sin and invite the Lord Jesus Christ to come in. Stop professing and possess the Lord Jesus, please. The foolish took lamps, yes, same as the wise, but they took not no oil. Now the wise took the lamps and they carried the oil. As you probably well know, the oil represents the Holy Spirit. Stands for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in the heart of every true born-again believer. Every true believer is born of the Spirit. We have some wonderful verses of Scripture that speak of that. We're going to go to John chapter 3. Verse 3, John 3, 3, we're talking about Nicodemus here. Jesus himself said, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." There's a difference, my friend, of just going to church, just listening and professing to be a Christian, versus inviting the Holy Spirit to come within, live within your heart. When you do that, you're going to know that. That's the reason I say so many times that you're going to know the day. You're going to know the day that you trust in Jesus. You're going to know the day that you're saved. Because the day that God comes into your heart is a day of birth, of rebirth, born again. Verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now, that is not baptism, my friend. You are baptized by the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Spirit, but that comes by the Word of God. And that's what that word water stands for there. You hear the Word of God, and that allows the Spirit of God to do a work in you and brings you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's move on in John to John chapter 14. We've got some good verses of Scripture here. John chapter 14, verse 17. John 14, 17. "Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." Doesn't get any clearer than that. You have to let him in. The world does not. The world does not want him. The world has no desire for the Holy Spirit. I hope that you're not rejecting the Holy Spirit. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Romans 8, 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." So you see, you have to accept that you're a sinner and you're lost. Accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, comes to live within your heart and will guide you. And that makes you the son. Wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 and 13. "For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we are Jew or Gentile, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." Please come by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. As we come back to Matthew chapter 25, we find, "But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept." Now that's a sad statement, and we're going to look at some verses of Scripture next time we're together, because they should have been looking and watching. But even those that have the oil, those that are born again, weren't ready. They were prepared, but they should not have been sleeping. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?